Okay, you're good.
Okay. Were there any minutes? I don't see any old business in this packet.
We have.
We just did the recording. If there's anybody.
Oh, right. We're not doing minutes. You'll have to get them off of the website.
So we quit doing that?
Right.
This time?
Cost efficiencies.
Oh, you guys. Yeah. Oh, please. Okay. All right. So anybody read the minutes? No? Did you guys read the minutes, Patrick? No? Okay. Well, are we going to approve those? Does the board want to do that or not?
Hard to approve if no one's read it.
No. Want to wait till next time?
Sure.
Okay. See who reads them next time. Okay. All right. Could we stand and let's do the pledge? Maybe we could have our buddy Bo do the pledge for us.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Before we get to the Secretary of State, because that one's going to go pretty fast, Rudy tells me. I see we have some new people in here, and so we're glad to see that. And some of you don't know who we are or have never seen us before. And so we're the Bingo Advisory Board, and there's three people missing. I'm Bishop Dan Gintzig, and I'm the chairman of the Bingo Advisory Board, and I'm a hall owner, so I have Turn of the Century and the Bingo Company in Arvada. Okay? And so, and then... Go ahead.
I'm Tom Bednar, games manager for a nonprofit group called Colorado Youth Basketball, and we conduct games at the Bishop's Hall, Turn of the Century.
I'm John Smith. I'm a hall owner and a supplier up in northern Colorado.
Pull your microphone closer, John. Bo?
I'm Bo Williams. I represent the Veterans Organization. I'm a member of 4171, the quartermaster-elect, and trustee of American Legion 178 in Lakeville.
Right, and the three people are missing. Jean McAvoy, she's the games manager for CLBA. Also, Nick Pizzuti, he's with the Elks, and Austin Gomes, who is... the games manager for St. Luke's, I believe it is, Catholic Church. And so those, that's currently who the board members are for the Bingo Advisory Board. So we're supposed to be on your side and help you get things done with the Secretary of State and other things like that. What we're going to do next, and we'll change this around just slightly, but we'll hear from the Secretary of State's office. I don't know what we're going to hear, but we're going to hear something, I guess. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We don't have a financial report for you today, and the reason for that is we have discovered that when we made the computer switch over from the old system to the new system, we had some, bad data. So I'm not even... comfortable that the reports that I gave you the last time are accurate, and the IT staff's working on that right now to make sure that it gets accurate, and we'll generate the reports, send them out to you and anybody else who wants to see them. The initial look says that Bingo's kind of holding its own from last year, but as everybody knows, there's still a decline. The numbers that I saw for last year were about $95 million gross. But again, I am not absolutely certain that those are accurate. Senate Bill 141, which is the transfer bill if Referendum P gets passed, was on the House floor this morning for second reading. I don't know whether they got to it or not. It was on yesterday. There are no real amendments to that. Morning, sir.
Good morning.
This is the Secretary of State, in case anybody didn't know who it was.
I just wanted to come over and say good morning.
Morning.
Thank you all for coming. Mike, I'm sure, has everything well in hand, and I'm available if there are any questions for me, but Mike is the expert. And these folks know it far, far better than I do, so I just wanted to come over and say good morning, and thank you for coming.
All right.
Thank you.
Anything for my attention, Mike?
No, sir, not unless somebody in the audience has questions.
I think everybody's already given you an earful a few times.
You know, I've got more earfuls, in fact.
You got, yeah.
Some of the other fellows in the group, and perhaps a few of the ladies, I need help hearing occasionally.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
I look forward to hearing the results of your meeting.
Thanks, mm-hmm. sir. Anyway, Senate Bill 141 was on the floor this morning. I was out of the office for a while, so I didn't get to hear what happened to it. But if it passed, and I think that there was no real opposition to it, it should go to the governor for signature. Essentially, all it does is give a transition period from Election Day, November 2nd, through July 1st of 2011. We would continue to do all the licensing, the regulation up through July. July 1st, we would transfer all of these people, all the data, and any money left in the fund to a new cash fund that's been created in Department of Revenue.
Mm-hmm. So a question would be, they didn't know, last time we had talked to the Department of Revenue, are they going to keep the compliance officers that you already have, or do we know?
That's in the bill. We would transfer all personnel currently operating Bingo here to the Department of Revenue Division of Racing. There's a $92,000 fiscal note on it, but all it does is transfer money from the Bingo account here to the Bingo account over there, and gives Revenue the authority to spend that money because they need some new computer equipment. I don't think they realize just how much data that we have, historical data going back 20-some years.
Are you, until you're retired, transferring also?
I won't transfer.
You won't
transfer? I will be retired by the time we know what the governor's going to do.
Okay.
But it all depends on what happens November 2nd, whether P goes through or not. If P fails, then all the guys stay here and
just keep on going.
Keep on going, and Senate Bill 141 becomes moot. Does not take effect.
Mike, while you're at it, I need to ask it. With that $92,000 that will be transferred, I understand that, but are you saying that there will be absolutely no additional impact to the taxpayers by this change?
I'm not saying that at all, sir, because I don't know what will happen in January of next year. You may see Racing and Revenue come back and want to modify the statute, want to modify the rules. We don't know, except for some conversations that I've had with the people at Racing who said we don't intend to change anything right now.
Sure.
But even if P goes through come July 1st, you might be able to see some changes. If P goes through, all it does is give the legislature the authority to move it from 5 years to 3 years for life of the organization, and lets the legislature decide where it's going to go. The legislature could decide come January of next year, if P passes, that they're going to move it to DORA or they're going to move it to the AG's office. We just don't know. But right now, just because of the way Senate Bill 141 is structured, it puts it into Revenue. I think you can rely on that.
But the legislature can't put it wherever they want.
They can. Yes,
sir. They could leave it here if they wanted to.
They could. They could leave it here.
Okay. I don't know if I should do this or not, but we've never voted on whether the Bingo Advisory Board likes Proposition P or doesn't. So if we're for it or against it, how do I want to say this? Nomination, I don't know, what do I want to call it?
Motion,
thank you, John. Motions to vote on that?
I'd like to make a motion that we, as a board, show our support or opposition to referendum.
Okay. Do I have a second? We have first and second. All those who are opposed to Proposition P, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those that are for Proposition P, so we have 3-1. So that's where we are in regards to the Bingo Advisory Board. Okay. That'll go in a minute somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's being recorded. Anybody listening?
It is going out to the internet.
Yeah.
They could be listening.
Okay. All right. Are you done with us, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So before we go to the B3, we just covered the next thing we were going to talk about. One of the things I'm a little bit worried about, and I don't know, so I want to bring this up. I don't know if any of you have seen that or are involved with the bingo business. There's a new proposition that they're trying to vote on to put on the ballot for November, which would put electronic keno in bars and clubs and things like that. Is anybody familiar with that? Besides me and John Amon, and I wanted to make you aware of that. And they've had, it's already written, and it's in, I don't know if it was in the Senate or House already. Do you know, Mike?
I think it's in the Senate because I believe one of the sponsors is Senator Romer.
Oh, yeah, it is. We need to talk with him. Have they had hearings in the House yet? Does anybody know?
I really haven't been following it because it's been part of the education bill, and yeah. I just actually read about it in the paper this morning.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure whether it's been introduced as a bill. I think they're still talking about it.
Okay. The last I heard, it was introduced, but and the Senate went through the committee already, and it went to appropriations, as far as I know. But I need to talk to some lobbyist, I guess, wherever they are. What I want to suggest is if we can find out if it's going to be have another hearing in the House, for example, we need to testify whether we like that or not. And my answer would be, I think it's not very good for bingo to do that. Yes, Patrick Ryan.
My question was, I'm unaware of what was going on. I think you guys mentioned this. Are the ELFs, the VFW, the American Legion, are there any organized nonprofits?
There's no nonprofits behind it. Romer wants to do it to provide money to education. That was the point of this, and it's going to go to the Lottery Commission, is who this is under. Okay? We talked to the Lottery Commission, and as a bingo hall, we can get a license. Anybody can get a license almost to do that. But it wouldn't be very good for the nonprofits, is the point. Okay? Because unless it's a club or something like that, right? And so I wanted to bring that up, and I'll try and get the suppliers, Rich Lemon and his people, and John Amon and his people, to let all the groups know if there's a hearing, when it is, and if we can get people to testify. I would hope against it, but if you're for it, that's okay too, you know? Anybody have any questions regarding that? John? Okay. Are we going to, like, have people talk and record their names, or what are we doing over here?
That's probably the best way to do it.
So. Yeah.
Bishop, it's my understanding that...
Who are you?
I'm John Amon, Quality Bingo Supply, and I also represent the Colorado Elks Association.
Okay.
My understanding, the Keno bill's already fallen by the wayside.
When?
This week.
I didn't hear that. You're for sure on that?
Pretty sure.
Who do we need to ask?
Senator Romer.
Do you have his number?
In view of that bill, to put it on the November ballot, losing steam, he's come up with another idea that he thinks he can authorized through legislation only, and that's video lottery terminals. So there's, they've already moved on to the next.
All right, so we need to sit down and have a meeting with him, serious meeting, I think, in regards to, there's consequences of people's ideas that they need to understand and hear about. Okay? All of those are good ideas, but there's also consequences to everybody's idea about the gambling situation. So, well, I'll try and get Karki to set up a meeting with Romer. Who would like to go to that meeting? Okay, Bo and John, all right? And we'll sit down with him and explain what the consequences are. When is he up for election?
Senator Romer?
Yeah.
He's got 4 more years.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay. Depending on his answer. Thanks, John. That's all it was?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Well, we'll check on that and make sure that's good, because that solves another big problem. Okay. Since we've done that, now it's time to discuss the new test that we had on the 24 number, what we're calling, from a game tech point of view, B3 is their model number for their machines. And so who is going to give us, we have results here, but John Amon, are you going to be talking about that? Well, yeah.
I think that it's more important to come from the church.
Okay. Well, then that's a good idea. Does anybody have these numbers that they've given to the board, the LE21s on specifically B3 results from how many games they did on the test? Do you all have those? No. So maybe I could go over those a little bit. Would that be all right, since I have those numbers, right? That each, looks like there's 4 groups who turned in LE21s. Is that how many groups that were doing it, John?
5.
5 groups. Do you have numbers on the other groups? Well, they're public knowledge, you know. So before John does that, let's go over these. I see we have one here.
Who the heck is this organization?
Dan? Yeah. Are we able to bring this up on the screen?
I don't think so. You don't have that, right, Shannon? Or do you?
I'm trying. If I can log in.
All right, that'd be great. Then we can take a look at that. So, and for anyone who needs to know, we have the people here from Game Tech, and we have the people here from Quality Bingo, and people here from, who the heck do you work for? Arrow. Is that the name of the company now? Yeah, okay. Thanks, Rich. Okay.
Mr. Chair, while we're waiting for this, do we have any information from Nate?
From Nate, your lobbyist?
Yeah.
The last thing I know is there was going to be a new meeting, wasn't there? No? On the 11th. At where? The Elks Lodge, the Denver Elks Lodge. On the 11th at 1 o'clock. That's all I know. Computers are great, huh? Yeah. Oh, I see. one more step.
So for those of you who are here, how many are here that have done the B3 system? Raise your hand if you've done the B3 system. She's looking. Raise your hand so we can see that, the B3 system. For those of you who haven't and don't know about it, what that is there was a test on some new electronics. Let me know when you want me to stop. And to see if it could increase some profitability for the charities. And so machines were supplied, a limited number of machines were supplied that allow you to do a certain number of numbers really quickly, like 24 or 30 numbers, and the players buy whatever number of dollars they want for that, and that credits to that machine, and it goes through the different games relatively quickly using the same 24 numbers that were called, and that is totally separate from the other bingo game that's going on at the same time, potentially. Okay, and so we have the results of those tests for how many games were played and how much money was wagered and how much the profit was, is what she's trying to get us up to. Okay, does that all make sense to everyone? Any questions about what I just said, since I did it so fast?
No, but it should bring up the license.
Well, what would you like to know?
Patrick, would you
just... I mean, we can do this manually, you know. There you go. But I don't know if they have the B3 thing on there.
That's why. They transposed their license number. That's why it comes
out. Oh, okay.
St. Pius, okay.
Are these going to be recorded on this system, Lisa? And system?
Oh, you have them, and you have them. You have hard copies. Okay, good.
Yeah, I don't think okay. Any of the data.
Did everybody get a piece of paper? John does? Okay. So let me read these while they're messing around with that computer a little bit. So it looks like St. Pius. Is there somebody here from St. Pius? No. Where did they do bingo at Four Aces or where? Four Aces. It looks like they did, on this test, they did 13 games, sessions. They brought in $4,934. And they had a profit of $2,552.25. What they did probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, is they probably played these games right before the bingo session and right after the bingo session. Is that correct?
I believe for the first 2 weeks, they designated about an hour before the session. For example, from like 5 to 6, and during those occasions, there really wasn't much play because nobody was in the hall.
Yeah.
And then things changed, and they operated it during the session.
Uh huh.
So went a lot better at that time.
Okay, and during the session, meaning the players really played it before the game started and after the game started.
Right.
Okay, and another question would be. I just had a senior moment.
From what I've seen, the test period went better at the Four Aces location than the Slammers location.
Okay.
I'm not sure why that is, but the results were probably quadrupled in the one location.
Okay. Is the Rocky Mountain Splash here?
No.
Okay. They did 2,400 and had a profit of 653. How about Lakewood Performing Arts Council? No? They did 3,800 and had a profit of $2,475.
And how about Triple Threat Sports Connection?
No, they're not here.
They did 4,800 and had a profit of 2,700. And somebody decided they didn't want to do it anymore. Alpine Skating, I guess, is right. Had $140 of income and $110 of profit. What I was hoping is somebody could answer, and didn't do any of these? Did you do any? The charities that are here, did you do any B3 games? Okay. Question, and who are you guys all from? Okay. And St. Therese?
I'm the bingo hall manager at Four Aces.
Okay. Are you having fun?
Today.
No. Yeah, okay. The question I have then for those who have run B3, when this income came in, John, what was the income for St. Therese and the profit?
Kathy, do you have the numbers for St. Therese for your total income? I've got them here.
All I have is
what? Oh, okay. It looks like their gross receipts, I broke it down by month. The gross receipts for March were, sorry, just give me a minute here. Actually, I've got their gross profit here for March.
What is it?
$1,063.25.
What about April?
April, I've got through the 22nd.
Yeah.
And it looks like it had increased. You know, I think it'll progress as time goes on. It's $1,865.
So they did about $3,000 in profit. Is that what you think, Kathy? The question I have then, and I will ask the next group of that, did those numbers affect any of your pickle play?
I don't believe it did at all.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that will help the bingos.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm just wondering, so I just was trying to check and see, did it didn't affect your pickle numbers as far as your income for pickles? That was the only thing that was concerning me. And what about, you're the Elks? And what do you guys have to say? Okay. Hi.
I just wanted to say that what's really true is the B3 attracts a different player. There's a little bit of crossover between pickles and B3, but most of the people playing B3 are people that didn't play pickles.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay. Those are the kinds of things I think we're all interested in as far as carrying on forward with in regards to the charities making more money in the same time frame. Yes.
We have some people that buy a 10 and then go over to the B3 and use their 10 and play B3.
Okay. And that the state said that was okay, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Now, these B3 games, were they separate sessions? They must have had to be separate sessions from a payout point of view. Recorded separately as a separate session. Yeah. So if you were doing a lot of games, you couldn't do B3 every time you did sessions. Because we're limited to how many sessions a year can be done, right? If the state would write that down, that would be useful because that could be a rule change. You mean to make the payout higher? Specifically for B3? Yeah.
Also, but I believe it's, what is it, that you're allowed to use?
Yes.
So if you can put a B3 session, not count that B3 session from your traditional game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do the charities agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. My suggestions. So the suggestions I was going to offer, and the advisory board can talk about that, would be one, to do what John said, is not count those as sessions. Number one, or if you wanted to count them as session, not as sessions. One way that could be done is to increase specifically the payout. Let's say it was what is it now? 2,000,
yes.
The max for a session. And then you could pick some number just for B3s if you counted that as the same session. So potentially increase the payout or increase the number of sessions that can be done in order to make it all come out so that the charities could make more profit because they're limited in what they can do. Does that make sense to the charities, what I just said? Does that sound good to you and to the Elks? So it doesn't matter for you guys. But there are people who are doing 3 and 4 sessions. Not that many, but there are people that are doing close to the max. Okay. Mr. Shea.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Do you think you need more games per session? I mean, we never really regulated the number of games that you're running through the B3 machine. Mm. But if we authorize it, you know, are we going to need more? If you count one B3 session and say you can only have 35 games, that's going to go pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the rules is, though, that it has to be displayed for everybody, and they have to call it and hear it for everybody at the moment, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. And did you use the electronic voice, or did you have human?
Since we did just one set of numbers before the game, the operator would call out the number and set the numbers, and they'd play against the whole time.
Yeah. The question I have is the games go so fast, but it's possible by the rule change to increase the number of games on the B3 if you wanted to write that rule. Is that correct,
Well, Mr. if I'm Shea? Not mistaken, the number of games is in statute.
Okay, so we'd have to get a statute.
You need to think about that, especially if. If P passes, because yeah. You'll have to be ready with a sponsor and propose legislation to change the bingo raffle law come January of next year.
Regarding B3?
If you want B3 to play it in that fashion where you'd have right. more balls called. So, you know, you may go through 2 or 3 different scenarios with one set of 24, then call another set of 24,
right.
Maybe using the electronic voice at that point.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a question.
Hold on 1 second. Yes, Mr. Bednar.
A question that I have is I see the payouts, but what are the expenses involved in running these games?
Right. Let me answer that. At this point in time, this was a test, okay? And so they weren't charged extra rent, and they weren't charged for paper during this time. Is that correct? So you had no expenses. But my understanding is, okay, from Game Tech, and I don't think if you're going to be running these games at the same time and not taking more time in the hall, that the hall's going to charge you extra rent or a great deal of rent at all, okay? if it takes extra time and we have to keep more people and keep the snack bar open, then we would have to charge more rent, okay? But if our expenses aren't going up, then we wouldn't charge the groups any more rent. But the game check price, I mean, they have to charge per pack, if you will, and my understanding is if you play 9,000 faces, okay, which adds up, which you can play pretty fast, that would be about approximately $125. Is that correct? It's like buying a box of paper, a set of paper, Tom.
Okay. Per occasion?
Well, whatever, 9,000 faces. Just like you have now when you buy a set of paper, it's 1,500. Is it now when you buy paper for a regular session, it's 1,500?
Yeah,
that's what I mean. And so they're charging for packs, faces that you play, like they're 3 cents or something like that. Is that right, Jerry?
Yeah, it breaks down to $1.38.
Per face?
Right.
Per face. Okay. So how many of they played? Then that's what you would get billed for.
Okay.
But you gave numbers when we first started this as to what they took in revenue, and then you said the profit was something less than that. What was that other cost?
There wasn't any other cost. Profit. They were making payouts. Okay. Those were payouts. Okay. So it's about $125 a session. Is that correct from Game Tech? No, what?
It really depends on the session. Some sessions have a lot of play, some don't as much. So I would venture to say that an average would be maybe 1,000 cards a session at this point.
Okay. So we're saying somewhere around $60 to $125, depending on how much play there is?
Yeah, it goes more.
Okay. Tell me.
We had some sessions, we played up to 7,500 cards.
Okay.
And at $1.03 a card, that goes up. And like yesterday, we had a session, we went up to full 2,000. Up to $40 profit before paying for anything. It went to a ton of card faces.
Right.
If we had to pay for the faces, it would have been a total loss.
I know, but the point is, you got to pay for the faces or you got to pay for the paper. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're doing bingo, somebody's got to pay. Well, it's going to cost something. And we're just estimating the cost to be $60 to $125, Tom.
Okay.
That's an estimate, you know, and you could subtract that. So if you had 13 sessions, for example, somebody had 13 sessions and they made $2,700, something like that, and you subtracted, let's just pick a number, $80 times 13 is $1,000, okay? So you'd subtract $1,000 from that profit, and so they made, you know, 1,500 instead of 2,500.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so it is still extra income. It's a matter of how we can make it better and still get extra income from the groups. I'm just giving you rough ideas about numbers. It doesn't mean that's exactly what they're going to be, but that's a rough idea. If you are running these games separate from your other games time-wise, then I'm sure that the bingo halls, not the Aurora Elks and people like that in clubs, but the bingo halls would have to charge some sort of a rent, okay, based on their expense. And they're nice guys and everything, but, you know.
One other question I have is, what's the risk of some pretty heavy payouts?
What is the percentage, John? Jerry, can you give us a percentage? So it's a 87% payout. Okay. Does that help, Tom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So,
we had one session for a payout of 451.
Uh-huh.
One person.
Yeah. That happens. It's going to happen. I mean, It is what it is. It's just like pickles. 87%, you know, is the payout out of what's spent, basically. If you get, they could hit you all at once. That's true, you know. But then, okay, you know, it's just like selling pickles. You get it back other times, and so percentage is percentage. If that make, can you change that percentage? I mean, we could make it closer to what pickles are if we wanted to. Okay. Any questions so far or comments? Because we'd like to hear everything about in the state especially, because they're trying to decide what to do, right?
That's correct. I guess two questions. One is, do you think we ought to go forward with it? And two, what other changes in rules or statute need to be made in order to make it work?
Who are you?
I'm Kathy Galikowski from St. Teresa.
Okay.
Are you absolutely certain you need to give out 2,000?
No, but it depends on how much play you have.
What I envision is that as B3 progresses, a couple of occasions where the 2,000 limit was reached for the regular bingo game.
One of the ways to fix that, Mike, would be if you had an unlimited number of B3 games, then we could set whatever number it is that we want for the payout, whether it was 1,000 or 2,000 for that particular thing, because you just start over for another session once that 1,000 is over with.
Why does B3 need a limit?
Well, let me just give you the perspective from the regulator's side of the house. When we look at those organizations that give out less than 2,000, give out less than 1,500, base it on the number of people playing, they're the ones making money. Very few of the organizations who are still giving out 2,000 are making any money. So that's just a comment from our perspective. It's in the rules, you can do what you want, but we have to make some adjustments in terms of whether we consider B3 a separate session, and we can change the sessions within rules, but then you have that issue about games within a session, and that has to be changed by statute. So I guess my bottom line question is you want to do everything possible to help the charities, but are you convinced based on this short period of test that long run this is going to help you? Okay. Thank you.
Question I have is, are there extra people required to run these games?
One.
I just like to say from a different perspective than a group running bingo, I work at the snack bar at the bingo hall almost every session. I'm there a lot. I've seen all of these groups run B3. I've seen it start. I saw it finish. And I play B3 bingo myself almost every day. I think it's really one of the best things that happened to bingo in a long time. It does appeal to a different person, not the person laying out big bucks on pickles. They still really like that. But the person that would just sit there reading a book like me till bingo started, I like it. I mean, it's really fun. It takes the group one person to run B3. It doesn't, you know, it's been funny because the groups have been hesitant to start with it. They feel, you know, they don't know how to do it. Or at the beginning, it was like, well, we're not going to do it today because nobody knows how. But now we have groups come in and start B3 up before they even walk back in to get their pickles out or start anything. It's become very popular. Our machines are filled up almost all the time. They don't just play before and after bingo. They play at the break. Some of them play all during bingo with packs and electronics sitting right up there by them. It's become very popular. It got kind of a slow start, even though at Four Aces we promoted it quite a bit before it even did happen. But at the end, they were playing them every day. We've got people coming in that get off work at a certain time just to come in and play for a little bit. They're really a lot of fun. I don't know what else to say, but I mean,
that was good. That was good. I mean, that's what the Secretary of State's office needs to hear, what the situation is.
It's taken a long time for people to understand about B3 or that they even have the games there. I had a gal come in the other day and say to me, what are those machines for? And they've been there for 3 months and played all the time.
Yeah.
Now, I know for a fact the results of profits would be a lot higher, but fortunately, none of you are here, but we've got some groups who just resist putting it out. They come in, they say, oh, well, we're not going to play till 6:30. We've got people that come in at 5:30 that want to play. They're not utilizing it to their full potential now that people are really grooving on it.
Yeah, that's true, whoever's running bingo, if they're running a good game or not running a good game. You know, that's generally true of bingo. Groups. Yeah. One more question, Mr. Bender.
Clearly, I don't understand how the game is played, but what are you referring to when you say put them out? Put what out?
Well, I just meant open B3. And Tom, it's so simple. You go in, they call the balls, they enter the balls into the computer, and then people start buying it. And you can play for as little as you want. You can play up to one to six cards. You can play a quarter, 50 cents, or a dollar a card. You just go by the ticket, put it in the machine, they sit down there and play. But if the group comes in and say, oh, well, the guy that does that isn't going to be here today.
See, what they have at Four Aces, they have like a little U-shaped area of tables, and they have about 10 machines there.
Okay.
And they have a separate point-of-sale system, okay, and a ball caller. Okay, so they called the numbers first, and those are all entered, okay, because that's the balls that are going to be used for all the games, okay? And then the people have bought whatever number of dollars they want at the point of sale. That goes on their receipt, and it's credited in each machine. And they push a play button, and they continue to do that and bet how much they want. And at the end, their receipt will tell them how much money they have coming back to them. That's how that, I mean, that's why it only takes one person to.
These machines sit out here?
Yeah, they look like a tabletop.
Okay.
Mr. Shea.
One of the rules that we have is that every face has to have the same price. So do we need to modify that rule or get around that some way?
Six at a time. And when you're spending a quarter a ticket, you can play one or you can play six, but you can't play one for a quarter and one for 50 cents. You'd have to change the whole screen and place your bet again should you change.
But what I'm saying is that if you have somebody playing on a TED, they have paid a certain amount for 36 faces. That should be the same amount of money that's being charged if somebody's is playing on paper. And
yeah.
And
well, let him finish his question. Yeah.
That
some people buy in for $5 and play a quarter a square.
I understand how it's played, but what I'm saying is that during the test period, we allowed you to get away with that in violation of the rule. The rule would have to change in order to make it so that it would, that the B3 device would comply with whatever new rule we come up with, or you'd have to change the B3 concept so that every face is the same as what everybody else in the hall is paying for the face.
Oh, I see what you're saying. And so the rule would have to be changed, Mike. Otherwise, it's not going to work right.
Most likely. And I'm looking at my guys over here.
Yeah. So, you know, because they're not betting anywhere near as much as they are on the bingo, except it's just going a lot faster. So I think that rule would have to be changed.
In the past, we've talked about various tiers in bingo.
Yeah. He remembers that.
Well,
yeah, that's bingo, yeah.
Here's the legal issue. The legal issue is that right now somebody could set up a game where you pay X for blue sheets and Y for yellow sheets. Nobody's really doing that I'm aware of.
Right.
But in this particular case, you are paying per game that runs a different price per face, irrespective of the fact that people who buy in for more get more if they win. I appreciate that. What I'm just trying to ask is what we need to do in order to make this thing
right. So
apply. Because if P passes and we've allowed the game, and all of a sudden you're over at revenue next year, and they say, well, that's not in compliance with the rules, and they shut you down. We don't want to put you in that position.
Who do you want to give you that information, Mike? How would you like that to go into a new rule potential?
I would think that the Amens could come up with some proposed language to how to fix that rule.
Okay, and when do we have to have that back by?
If you want to do, if you want to start rulemaking in June, you'd have to have it to me before the 1st of June.
Okay, John. Any problem, you guys? No? Okay.
You know, this seems too simple, but you're looking at B3 like in comparison to bingo, when in fact B3 is more like pickles.
Right, but it has to meet the bingo rules or we get it thrown out. It has to be bingo. It can't be anything else. Otherwise, the state cannot authorize it. Hello.
It's just
Well, but it's not. But that's not how the rules work, and so we can't do that. It has to be bingo rules, not pickle rules. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to call you back. Whoever that was. Yeah. Got to turn this off. Mr. Ryan.
This is somewhat related to making sure that everybody's paying the same price.
Yeah.
We've started to discover people will go ahead, licensees will go ahead, and they'll package deals where you go in and you buy, you know, for $28, you get this set up, you get four faces.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what we've noticed is on these package deals, if you do the math, if you sit down and you break down of how many faces they're getting and you divide that into the total they paid for it, we're discovering that the people who are paying for the paper are paying a higher price per face on the paper because this deal is only being offered on the electronic. And so the solution...
Let me answer that. Let me answer that. If the people wanted to buy the same amount of paper that they're buying in a machine, they would pay the same price.
That's how it should work.
That's how it will work. If somebody wanted to come in and buy, let me say this, Patrick, let me finish, okay? If some, for example, if you had a package deal where you were selling the maximum number of faces, what is that, 36? Six cards, okay, in a machine, and somebody wanted to come in and buy six paper packs, they would get the same price as the person paying for the six packs in the machine.
Well, you may have your setup that way, but what we're discovering is not all the groups have thought this out. And what they're doing is they're making these packages, and if you sit there and do the math, you realize that, gee, maybe on the paper you're paying 10 cents a face, and on the electronics you're paying 7 cents. Well, that's contrary to...
Yeah, I understand that. And so, but you have to do apples and apples. In other words, the same amount of faces... For the same amount of money.
You may have your setup correctly at your home.
I know, but I'm saying that's an easy one to fix for the group.
But we're just discovering that. Yeah. I think a lot of groups aren't realizing that's what's happening when they're offering these package deals.
Yeah, okay. I understand. And so the groups have to fix that if they're selling for. Yeah, but there's not that many people that are going to be able to play all those number of packs and all that number. Yeah. Right, but that's what you need to do is you have to charge the same amount. I don't disagree with you, okay? Yes, Bo.
Mr. Chairman?
That would be me. That would be me.
Is this thing working?
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
Representative of many of the veterans' outfits, we're no longer doing a regular bingo schedule. So it's more of the club environment. And my question is to any of the suppliers is, was there any testing done at a club level? Yeah, I can help you with that, John. Having several conversations with our club managers for different veterans clubs, we're very optimistic about this. We share with so many of the nonprofit organizations the same problem, and that is. Disparaging amounts of income and revenues. Many of us just struggle to pay our utilities. And it can be very disheartening if we don't have anything to look up to. And I purposely share this with our state friends here because this will have a bearing on referendum P, and I don't think that at least any of our service organizations could handle much more of any kind of financial encumbrance.
My opinion would be that B3 would work even way better for a club than it does even in the bingo hall.
That's exciting.
Either that or if the Secretary of State increased the number of sessions to an unlimited amount for B3.
Yeah, thank you, John, for mentioning that because I was going to have a follow-up about that. Different service clubs have different peak times, and it depends on which day of the week, and that would really help if we could pretty much have a large period of time that we could, our players could utilize these devices.
Mr. Shea.
Just to be aware, the state has extended the test period for another 30 days.
Oh, good.
So
all right.
If you want to work with the manufacturers and suppliers on being
You have
test.
Enough, Jerry, to get them some right away? Okay. Mr. Ryan.
Just a thought I would throw out there, you know, knowing that everything is up in the air depending on the outcome of the referendum, but, you know, looking, you know, listening to the discussion and looking how we're trying to mold the rule to where it'll fit, you know, and it almost sounds like you need a complete separate category in the statutes for these electronic machines. And beans, if this were to move to revenue, there would be a prime opportunity to have revenue, which probably are going to have their own idea for them to say, hey, let's just write this into the statute.
And I wouldn't disagree with that. Whether it stays here or it goes to revenue, you need a whole different set of rules, I think, for the B3 operation. Yes, sir.
Yeah, the way this stands now, when we run against $2,000 have been bet.
Yeah.
It shuts off.
Yeah.
Now,
no, it paid out, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you start over again, is that a separate session? In other words, you have to close out the first session, do the paperwork, all that, and then you do a second session.
Yes.
Why can't that just be set up to where you continue?
Well, that's what we're asking the Secretary of State's office to look at and think about. Yeah. And that's why they have to give us either more payout or more session. The paperwork should be done automatically by the computer, the point of sale system. Yeah, well, you know how that goes anyway. Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah. That you can screw up too, yeah. Are you hearing that, Mike? Yeah, okay. Sure.
Patrick said that this is something so different than your concept of bingo or what's going on now. It's totally different. It has to have new rules that apply to itself.
Just remember that we only have jurisdiction over bingo, raffles, and pull tabs.
Right.
So it has to fit into one of those three. It's not
That's
a
correct.
Raffle and it's not pull tabs.
This is the whole point. This has to meet bingo regulations. Let me say that again to you, okay? This has to meet bingo regulations. Now, if we have to modify the bingo rules in order for this to meet those regulations, then that's what we do. But it is a bingo game. Otherwise, they won't let us do it. Yeah, they won't let us do it if it's not a bingo game. It's that simple. Well, at this point, it has to be the Secretary of State or the Department of Revenue, depending on what time frame we're in. Yes, with the rule hearing, they have rule hearings with how many rules there are, and they read those, and they have testimony. Then they go back and discuss that, and then they come out with a rule if after all the testimony is done. But they have public hearings on the rule change. They want you there, actually, and they want you to put in all your changes before they even have the hearing so that they can discuss those. Yes.
Yes.
Oh. That's a rulemaking takes at least 90 days. Okay. But let me point out something about rulemaking. And we just passed two new rules that go into effect the 14th or 15th of this month. 16th. Thank you, Rudy. One of them is to allow the spinning wheel at your church raffles, church bazaars. And you probably could have always done that, but we embedded it into the rule to say, yeah, that's really okay, because we were getting questions from local law enforcement, local city managers. The second rule allows you now on the 16th to start taking credit cards if you're doing internet raffles, credit cards at the point of sale. Be careful, because, you know, we warn you that you have some risks doing that, but we now allow that. That rule came about because somebody approached the Secretary of State and said, we really need to take credit cards. We have this huge raffle, and what can you do? Well, he was the one that pushed the rulemaking. We had rulemaking. Not a single person showed up. So if we're going to do the mind-numbing paperwork to get a rule through, you guys need to show up. And if nobody shows up, and nobody weighs in on it, or nobody writes in and says, this is really a good idea,
nothing's going to happen.
Much more difficult time getting the rule passed. We never know. Oh, it's posted. The rules are all
on the Secretary of State's website.
I think you have a new energy now with the new board, and I think you'll get the support that you want.
But, you know, we sent out the rules to everybody on the board. You know, it's on the website. We had dates and times posted. We sent out proposed rules.
Well, we had a preliminary rule hearing before that.
We had a bingo
advisory board meeting. We discussed all those rules, and then you threw out all of them but two, I think.
That's correct, in order to get them passed quickly.
Yeah, and so the ones you passed were raffle ones, basically.
I think there's a pretty good consensus that the nonprofit community would like to continue with. One thing that's come up that is a game limit per session, but the game works with all of the numbers that are used for the entire game. So we have an opportunity to change the stats on the number of games for. I would recommend that we continue in the past where we other minor workable, but until we can get the rules $1,000 per session and prices if we need to.
Is that a problem?
That's not a problem, sir.
Okay, yeah. That was what I was going to ask next. I mean, besides the month, we could go until rulemaking is over with.
I'm looking for some language.
All right.
Just one interjection. I was just reviewing our rules here, the most current copy, and it seems to me in the area of Section 7-0 and then 15-0, which is the guidance for the suppliers for the electronic gaming devices, it seems like it would be fairly easy to have a write-up and an inclusion into those particular sections.
For that.
On that?
Yes, sir, I am, but that's still a rule change.
Yeah.
And that's what takes a length
of
time.
So what we need to come up with, we need to come up with a set of rules for the B3 that we need to add to whatever sections we have to add to, unless we make a whole separate subsection just for B3.
Well, and I agree with Patrick. I think maybe the way to attack it is a separate section just for the B3.
And I would agree with that. So, John, can you come up by June 1st?
with a whole separate section on B1. You and along with Game Tech and I don't know anyone else who's interested in doing, you know, providing those kinds of games. All right? Well, you could be involved in that if you like. So we have this subcommittee. We have John Amon Jr., Sr. We have Game Tech with you, Jerry. We have Bo with the veterans. Would anybody else like to be on that committee? Raise your hand if you'd like to be on the rule change committee for the B3. Okay, I'll be on it. Okay.
Operating the B3 system. I remember one of the requirements, though, was to make sure that it was sold from a separate point of sale. The system would separate all the B3 reporting if it was integrated into one central system. It can be reported for completely separate of the traditional bingo session, but, you know, we would.
Yeah. No. I think that's a good idea, John, but that also is part of what we want to put in this a whole separate set of rules. Okay? And I think that's a good idea because there's no point in having separate electronics if you can incorporate it into the newest electronics. Well, you can do that. I mean, it's not like you can do one or the other, but the point is you should be able to do both. I know. Okay. And each group should be allowed to do it however they think is best. And I agree with that. It'll all be automatic. Well, I don't disagree with that. But it doesn't mean you should be allowed to do whatever it is, however it is, that's going to work best for the charity, best for the group, for the most profit, right? And that has to be part of the rule-making process, so they can allow all of that, John, right? Bo?
Another question, and not being totally familiar with the games, like in a regular bingo session, it's stipulated that someone witnesses the balls and what have you in order to proceed. So with these B3 gaming devices, when you initially pick your balls that are going to be used for that particular game for the rest of the period, and then someone walks in an hour later and wants to get a device and start playing, is there any conflict there or anything? It's like those initial balls are witnessed by somebody, right?
Right. Yeah, they're displayed.
A sheet of paper before they're entered into the unit to, you know,
display.
So if you wanted to see what they were, the person running B3 has a chart right in front of him what numbers were pulled. They're on a board.
Okay, so the state's good with that?
Sure.
Then.
Yeah, we've been through that with them. Yeah, that was because they wanted to make sure it was bingo, you know, that's all. So it's not any different than somebody coming in buying packs after four games have been played already. It's the same thing. Any other questions? Any other suggestions,
yeah.
Mike?
Question.
Sorry, Mike. Tom, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Is Game Tech the only supplier of these devices?
B3. I think Rocky Mountain is going to have the capability sometime, right? You guys are working on the 24-number thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're working on it. They just don't have it yet, or they don't have it approved yet.
What we'll have to do is craft the rules so that it's the B3 type of game, you know, the 24-number
you call it that.
Game.
You'll call it that, yeah.
Planet Bingo also has a machine that does something very similar, We just authorized a test period for them, so.
Okay.
We have been told that this period of testing is extended for 30 days. At the end of that 30 days, do we have to wait for a rule change?
Yeah. What Mr. Shea said to us is that we will be authorized to do the B3 games until the rulemaking is finished. Yes, that's what he said. Is that right?
With some restrictions that John talked about, yeah. And those would be.
Oh, I don't know. You gotta. We need to ask your supplier about that.
Yeah. That's correct. It's between you and the supplier. Once the test ends and we authorize the machine and the game in the state, it will be with certain restrictions. At that point, the supplier. Manufacturer can charge for the paper, the landlords can charge for the room. But yes, sir. My understanding is, and I'll have to check on it, so that we don't allow a sharing between the landlord and the grosser net profits, but I'm not sure whether that applies to the manufacturer's supplier.
I think we discussed that in the past about a parimutuel, you know. He's talking almost like a parimutuel, you know.
Well, no, this would be more of where if you have a net profit of $500, you split it with the manufacturer as opposed
to... Some number 60-40 right. Or whatever it is.
Yeah. I need to check on that. I don't have an answer off the top of my head.
Okay. Jerry.
I understand that the rest of the 30 days test, there's a no charge in there. What about if...
Well, no, sir, that's what I just said. After the 30-day test, we'll either allow it or disallow it. If we allow it, it will be with certain restrictions, some of those Mr. Amon has already talked about, so that you would be able to charge for the machines, you would be able to charge rent, but limited to the use of that machine within those restrictions while you're awaiting some changes in the rules that might give you a little bit more flexibility. I'm not sure right now that we couldn't go ahead and authorize the machines with some different types of ways that you play it than you're doing right now. You've pretty much had a free rein on how to run the games over the last 60, 90 days. So as we get closer to the end of that 120-day period now, we know that you want the machines, and we're going to try and set up some rules to accommodate it, but the machines may still be able to be used with certain restrictions imposed on them. You know, one of the things would be how you structure the cost per face. Until we can change that rule, you might have to change the way you set up your charges, but, you know, we can work together on that in the rulemaking phase.
I'll answer that. The answer to that question is you can be charged more rent any time they feel like it. But the point is, if you're operating in your same time frame, then the cost for the landlord does not increase. So if the landlord charges rent, he's not a very nice guy. Okay, and then you have to deal with that. But there is no rule whether he can charge you more or not more. He can always charge you more. Okay, the way the rules are now. But if he does, then it doesn't make sense.
Okay. a lot of it's going to have to do with how your contract is worded. If you're being charged on a per session basis, okay. He could charge you because that's going to be an additional session if you're giving out $2,000 for B3. If he charges you on a 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock time frame and you're running multiple sessions in that time frame, then that's between you and the landlord.
Yeah, always, in my opinion.
During the test period, it's not.
And then we don't know what the new rules are going to say. So that's what we're coming up with.
As long as you're giving out $2,000 out of that B3 machine, that's going to be considered a session, at least under current rules. So that's what I'll expect you guys to come to us with as to how to change the current rules to accommodate it. Ask the lady in front of you. Yeah. But I think the suggestion of just putting an extra line on the LE21 is a good one, and we'll take a look at the forms.
To remind you of that.
Never quite as simple as you'd like.
What? Always a question.
Whether you do it or not, it's up to you.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And we might have to include that too when I'm talking to her today about the other reports.
Huh? Yeah, just making sure. Has everybody given all their input, Mike? Have you got enough input? Has everybody, anybody else have any more questions in regards to this? Who's buying lunch? No. All right, so that's where we are in regard to the B3 situation. Okay. Do you have a time frame, John, when you want to set up a meeting?
About a week from today.
A week from today, and where do you want to do it? My hall? Next Wednesday at what time? Are you good for that, Bo?
No.
When are you good?
Not until the week after. I'm okay. In South Dakota all next week.
May 19th.
That'd work for me.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Everybody's been there who's on the committee, I'm assuming. Yeah. Jerry?
Sorry, what time again?
11.
11.
Yeah, I think, John, our plan will be to reconstruct a whole set of rules, separate section of rules for B3. Yes. That will be our main emphasis, I believe. All right, thanks. Any other open discussions about other subjects that anybody would like to have discussed? So everybody's happy at the Secretary of State's office about the charities. Are there any other things that are driving you nuts? No? Who are your compliance officers now? Same ones? You got Chuck and, Chuck. That was a mistake on my part. Patrick and Norm. What's the girl? Patrick, Norm, and who? Darlene, yeah, okay. Those are they're the guys, the men and the woman. All right. All right. In that case, our next meeting then will be after. Jeez. That's our lobbyist. Next meeting, I think we should have it in July after the June testing. Okay, so that we can see where we are in regards to that. And we have to have the rules into him by June 1st, and so we can discuss those rules as well in that next meeting. Jeez, would you get out of here? Okay, and so give me a date, Rudy, and the time.
July 14th.
July 14th at what time, 10? 10 a.m.? 10 a.m. in this room. Could be a bigger room if we have to have it. Huh?
You're not going to reschedule.
This is the Aspen room if we
need have to. Yeah. Okay. June 14th, July 14th to discuss the potential new rules and where we are in regard to the B3s, among all the other things we'll discuss, financials and if anything passed and all of that kind of stuff. Okay? Everybody okay with that? Do I have a motion to adjourn? I guess we're staying.
Can we adjourn?
Second that.
All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Okay, we're adjourned. Thanks, you guys. It was a good meeting. Thanks.
Why does everybody look at me to adjourn?
Put in some dates here. Yeah. Oh, Rudy, actually.
You get these?
Yeah.
Be careful.
Thank you. Well, they've cut down a bad check.
What's that girl's name that was just there? That might have been the one that was driving you nuts with your account.